Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climbing with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I'm Frank of the Chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Nubs, and I also have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Session 396 of the TradeX Podcast, where even though the network went away, the dap is always here to stay. So drop a dap in the chat or in the comments if you're with us. We appreciate all of you. And today, we have an old friend joining us. We have Nubs joining us. Nubs, how are you?
Doing well. Not experiencing all the bad weather everyone else is across the country down in Dallas, Texas here.
That'll work. It's been a while since we've had you on. Obviously, a lot's gone on news-wise and stuff this week, so we'll break it all down. But before we do, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, I'm Nubs. I was formerly a part of the JWB family of podcasters. They ended up kind of not producing any more pods as just was too much in terms of just responsibility for Skylar in terms of producing everything. But I can be found on Twitter at Nubs double N double B. If you ever have any questions, feel free to reach out.
I love that double N double B. Nice to remember. what's a guiding principle you have in trading before we get into everything?
I think it's important that you're uncomfortable with some unknown. I think I'm one that likes to get a future assets, and I don't like my teams to be too deep because I'd rather have transferable assets. If I have that injury come up, that I can then be kind of like water. So I like to have future picks, and I like to have the ability to kind of add and drop players from the bottom of my roster, where I've created that space for myself to then, like, if a player increases in touches or they become a better player or my picks get better, I might be able to get a stud player to add to my lineup.
Yeah. No, I like that. Being uncomfortable is always a good thing with a good trade because everyone should feel a little uneasy after it, I feel like. So, all right, well, Nubs, I'll ask you, do you want to do the happy news or the sad news first?
I think we should get the sad news out of the way.
All right, let's do that. Daniel Jones, torn Achilles. It just sucks. We'll get to him in a second, but the Colts have signed Phillip Rivers because why not? And so, Nubs, I'll start with you. I kind of have a two-part question to this. One, are you buying Daniel Jones now if you are a rebuilder, and what would you pay for him? And two, do you have any interest, even 1% interest in Phillip Rivers?
I think one of my guiding principles for Dynasty is you can never have too many quarterbacks. So it really just depends on the price tag. We saw him going back to his pumpkin status of a quarterback. So it's kind of questionable as to what you're actually going to see post-injury. But if you can get him for something cheap or maybe some players that aren't going to make it past your off-season rosters, I think that's kind of a play to make, or if it's like a third and some throwaway players, I might do it. I think actually the more I watch, you know, today's NFL game compared to like prior NFL, I think that the defenses are getting way better. They're way faster, but we're seeing aged quarterbacks live longer because they have the ability to really read defenses, even though the coverages are getting more exotic and just kind of more detailed. I think if Phillip Rivers has any sort of live arm and his offensive line can do any sort of protection, I don't think he's going to fare too poorly. I'm not going to say he's going to come out and be all world, but I could see, you know, 190 yards and a touchdown maybe, or two touchdowns in a week, and support the team to win their matchup. I think that's actually an option that could actually come to fruition.
Yeah. So better than JJ McCarthy. What about Daniel Jones? If you're rebuilding, you kind of know he's top 12-ish when he's healthy, but these Achilles injuries can be nasty. So They've said that he'll be ready for week one. I hesitate with that, but Nubs, what are you doing with Daniel Jones? Are you trading for him now, or are you just kind of holding and seeing what you kind of value shakes out to over in the non-point scoring season?
I don't mind the trade for him now. I think predatory trades like this, unless it's like someone really needs to make a trade for another quarterback, I just don't think they're accepted as often as people think they are, especially if they're really kind of low offers, low balls. That I'm not really probably making that offer now, but if someone were interested in swapping and doing something of that nature, I would be interested in listening.
Rocky, same questions.
Yeah, with Daniel Jones, I do think now. I know you say that, I agree with you too, they don't always tend to work, but I think if they are going to work, now might be the time if somebody was depending on Daniel Jones as a starter and is in the playoffs, and you're a non-playoff team, and I think Jones is a fine, not too expensive asset to have going forward, even if you're a non-contender, because I think he's going to be there for at least a couple of years. So I do think now would be the time to pounce. I also wanted to say with Philip Rivers, I did see a thing on Twitter where apparently high school team,
yep.
His kid's high school team is running Shane Steichen's Colts offense or something similar to it. So, and he's been actually talking weekly with Shane Steichen prior to this. So if he's anywhere capable physically, I think this actually, he could probably be halfway decent and maybe start as soon as, it's not like he has any worries about being familiar with the system if all that is true. So, mm-hmm. And I do think, I mean, it's highly unlikely he's on anyone's roster right now. So I would definitely put a bunch of fab on him just for the hell of it.
He's definitely on Russ's because Russ didn't drop Andrew Luck until like 6 months ago. So
at least Andrew Luck was in his 20s or whatever when he left.
That's true. Yeah. I go ahead.
I was just going to say in my group chat, I put in a gift this morning of an excited toddler and said bonus P-Riv because I'm a Chargers fan. So it's the more Rivers I get to watch, the better. And I saw just a tweet. I don't know if it's true or not, that his oldest kid is older than his starting tight end.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, I saw a thing that like his center was a 1.5 when his oldest
kid
was born. No, his center was 1.5 when he was drafted.
Yeah.
When Philip Rivers was drafted into the league, his center was 1.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I think it's funny. The funniest part of all this is he did the one day deal with the Chargers to retire a Charger, and now he's going back to the Colts. I agree with you guys on Daniel Jones. I think like if I think about people who are on major teams, like especially for Rocky, Rocky's got a lot of Kirk Cousins to offer you if you want to give Kirk, if you need a quarterback to start for a contending team where you give Jones away. But I agree with you on Rivers. I think like Joe Flacco started for the Bengals in what, like 3 days and being in the system and he didn't even know it. So they have said it's a pretty good chance he starts because Leonard's probably not doing very well. It doesn't seem like it. And Richardson, who knows where Richardson is. And so
he's still on the IR, isn't he?
With what?
He did something to his face.
Yeah. It was like he can't see or something.
Yeah.
But I think this would be a fine QB2 if desperate that I would pay a third rounder and nothing more for, and you got to really need it. So we'll see though. Real quick, Nubs, receivers, Tyler Warren, scared, not scared, dropping him down.
I think you have to be a little bit scared, but this offense kind of runs through him. If it's not JT, it's him. And then depending on the coverage, could be Pittman. But yeah, I still think he's going to get some touches, but we've even seen a kind of a decline in his production the last couple of weeks. Like he should have had a touchdown to Pittsburgh. He didn't. And then there's been some other weeks where it's just been kind of barren. Yeah. So I don't really think it's like our expectation shouldn't have been through the roof anyway, but it could be different until we see it actually like solidified that this is still the same case that he's going to get those targets.
Rivers threw to a pretty good tight end for a lot of years. Last I checked, so
I was going to mention that too. I was just going to say, yeah, I agree. None of the, other than Pittman, none of the, and Warren, no one's really been super enticing on the Colts anyway in terms of pass catchers. And I, what I'm not like trading them away or anything, but I'm not even not like starting them. Like I think like you said, he could be decent. And Warren especially, I mean, he's not going to be, I don't think, Rivers is going to be slinging it downfield too much, probably at 44, but Warren's not running those kind of routes anyway. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say. It probably eliminates Pierce as like your dart throw every week in that kind of scenario. All right, let's move on to the other sad news. This was just the most heartbreaking video I saw all weekend was Zach Ertz. He's torn his ACL. Mariota was hugging
him. Super Bowl hero, Zach Ertz.
Yeah, and just Mariota was hugging him on the cart. He was crying. It was this. It felt like this was the career ender, and it sucks that that happened, but it unbelievable career. I wouldn't be shocked if he signs a one day thing with the Eagles and retires an Eagle, but he played on the Cardinals for a couple of years and the Commanders, who knows, but probably an Eagle. And so I guess now, Nubs, I'll start with you again. Is there any kind of cheap tight end you're trying to acquire now? Juwan Johnson, Njoku, although he's hurt, something like that. And then any interest at all in Ben Sinnott? Because we've circled all the way back now to Ben Sinnott taking the role again. So any thoughts on Sinnott?
I think you should, I think you should always be buying Juwan Johnson, because I've seen him traded for fourths even just in the last month. And I think that there's way worse tight ends you could acquire for a fourth. And I think you kind of have to not maybe be in on Sinnott, but you have to at least consider if there's an opportunity to acquire him at a reasonable price. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen that the tight end role in this offense does hold a good amount of value if they can produce like tight ends. Yes. So I was a big I talked about the Commanders probably 2 or 3 years ago on our pods when I was with JWB, where they had such little red zone production just because their quarterback play was so bad. They had like one rushing touchdown in the red zone for a season, and they had like 7 targets on the season for tight ends in the red zone. So we've seen a very vast improvement just in tight end production for the Commanders over the past couple of years. So I think that if that continues, you really got to look at him as an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zach Ertz leaves the Eagles, Dallas Goedert emerges. He leaves the Cardinals, Trey McBride emerges.
I was going to say that too. Someone tweeted this. Like, yeah. I mean, Ben Sinnott's about to be a monster.
I hadn't even seen that too, but yeah, I was just thinking it as you were talking about Sinnott.
Yeah.
So he's, you get him now before he's at least a top 10 tight end next year.
Exactly. I'm looking at their depth chart right now. There is literally no one who should take catches away from Ben Sinnott, especially the way the Commanders are right now. They're out of the playoffs. They're kind of playing other young guys. I would be shocked if Daniels comes back. You can't put him back out there with the hits to his arm basically 2 games in a row. So yeah, no, give Sinnott a chance, and you know he might come back in 2026 as the main tight end, and we would be very excited about that. And if nothing else, you can sell him to someone who is excited about that. So definitely worth buying. Okay, speaking of hyped up tight ends, Isaiah Likely's dead because Mark Andrews was extended 3 years, $39 million, $26 million guaranteed. So let's call it a 2-year deal right now. On top of what he is. So that's 2 more years. Yuck. why did this happen? Nubs, what do you think of this deal? Does this make you like Andrews any more than you did, or not like him more than you did, or can we throw Likely in the trash now? What are we doing?
I'm going to say this. I was collecting Charlie Kolar shares. So I am blown away that he got extended, and I'm the biggest Mark Andrews fan I know. What has he even done in the past 6 months to think that you would even consider him as someone going forward that you'd want to move with? He doesn't move well in the end zone anymore. There's really nothing downfield for him at all. He doesn't even start games because Kolar does.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this deal at all.
He's 30 years old, by the way.
Likely, though, is a if AI Google on AI Googles to be believed, he's a free agent at the end of the season. So
yeah,
not necessarily not in the draft for likely.
Yeah. He's now I want to find a place for likely. Give me 2 seconds.
Yes, I still think likely is live because that doesn't mean that Andrew still doesn't become garbage next year.
Trying to stare at the teams for 5 seconds just to see if I can find a place for likely. You want to put him on the Patriots with everyone else we put on the Patriots last week?
Right? Every pass catcher goes on the Patriots. With Drake May.
DJ Moore, please.
Yeah, right. I'm smiling because there's a team that's in Kansas City is staring right at me. And Kelsey retires and likely goes to the Chiefs.
That would be
fun. The hype alone would make him worth a first. Yes. We'd be in Pitts territory. Rocky Andrews, anything to add on what's going on here?
No, not really.
Make him more attractive to you at all?
No.
No.
He's basically been kind of mediocre for a while now, and I don't think the fact that they signed him changes that. So, I have Andrews in a few teams, but I'm certainly not interested in acquiring him.
This is a fun question that I just came up with while you guys were talking. Do the Ravens need to draft a wide receiver? They've used 2 first-round picks on wide receivers in the last, 4 years? Because Bateman came before Flowers, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they have to draft a wide receiver again? Or is this just a weird year where Flowers isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing?
I think Flowers actually played pretty decently, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I never want to pigeonhole a team needing to do something in the first round, especially when you're trying to take best player available.
Yeah.
But it would be nice for them to add a pass catcher. I don't know how you – it's like the Bills. I don't know how you go into seasons looking at your wide receiver room and going, yep, that's it. Or when Jalen Wald becomes available for a first, and instead of offering a 26 first, Miami wants a 27, and Buffalo says no, when clearly Waddle would fix like half their issues. So I don't know. I don't know what teams are seeing that they're like, yep, we're good.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if they would.
I don't know about a first rounder, but I think they should absolutely be looking to add another pass catcher, another wide receiver somewhere in the first couple days. I mean, I agree though. I think Flowers has not been. I mean, a lot of it. He hasn't really produced a ton, but a lot of that has been no Lamar, and then Lamar's been struggling himself for a month since he came back until kind of this past week.
I was going to say he looked healthy for the first time this week.
And Flowers had a good game.
Yes, yeah. to Nubs' point, he's had 68 catches on 95 targets, which, yikes, 891 yards, but he has 1 touchdown behind Tylan Wallace, Tez Walker, DeAndre Hopkins, Charlie Kohler, Rashad Bateman, and Mark Andrews leads the receiving touchdowns with 5. They need a big body that's not DeAndre Hopkins is how I would put it. So if there's a big wide receiver in the draft, I could absolutely see them doing something with that. Okay, Rocky, it's time to talk about our boy. Kyler's bench for the rest of 2025. They announced it this week. He's somewhere else in 2026. Where do we want him? Nubs, you can go first. Where do you want Kyler?
I want you guys to talk about Kyler because I flipped from liking Kyler to identifying, in my opinion, that Kyler has been the issue with Arizona for multiple years now.
How dare you?
So I can't even picture him where I would want him. So go ahead. Okay.
I want him in Minnesota.
I do too, but apparently,
move on from the JJ McCarthy experiment.
Apparently, according to Vikings fan Scott Fish, because I brought this up in the chat in one of the Fantasy Cares things, Kyler does not fit what O'Connell wants to do, and Mac Jones is the answer for what O'Connell wants to do. So, I have very bad news. I think he's going to be a Jet.
That's not.
I don't hate it, actually.
I was just going to say a big part of the problem with the Jets is the quarterback position. So.
If Kyler is the quarterback and Breece is re-signed with Garrett as your 1, Taylor as your tight end, and A.D. Mitchell and Mechie kind of flipping around as your 2 and 3,
and maybe
I don't hate that offense. I don't hate that offense. So I'm gonna, it basically means I'm going to be suckered in on the Jets being top five or whatever the hell I said at the beginning of this.
I know you love to pump up the Jets.
I love Breece Hall, man. I love Breece Hall. He's dying on that team. Anyone doing anything with Kyler now that he's out for the year? Is this another rebuilding asset that you would throw? Would you rather have Daniel Jones or Kyler?
I would rather have Kyler. He's still going to run some. Jones wasn't running as much this year, it didn't seem like, even before the leg injury. And I keep going back to it. When he's been healthy, he's always been a top 12 quarterback. He wasn't at the beginning of this year, and then he got hurt. But over the course of a year, he usually ends up as a top 12 guy.
I think the question's closer. The answer is closer than the question presents itself as, because I think the answer is obviously Kyler. But if we're talking what acquisition costs are, I think that's where the debate comes in. Would you rather pay X for Daniel Jones or X for Kyler, when clearly our expectations for Kyler are higher? But does he reach those heights is the question. Because if I can go off on a quick Kyler rant real quick.
Please do.
I was a big fan of the pass catchers, Michael Wilson, Marv, in Arizona, but I don't think Kyler plays with a lot of heart. I don't think he tries to win games in certain scenarios. There was a game against Carolina last year where he had a wide open McBride on the sideline that would have gained like 20 yards, put them in scoring position. He just threw the ball away. And I feel like there's a lot of times where he plays to protect his stats now to like be like, hey, look, I'm doing XYZ, or trying to not turn the ball over to look decent, like he did that against Minnesota last year. And so I just don't know if he's a guy I want to count on in a lot of scenarios where I'm like, I need to get points from this guy because I don't always think they're going to be there, to be honest with you.
All of that I actually think is fair. And Michael Wilson being the reincarnation of Marvin Harrison Sr. in the last 4 weeks, like maybe tells you something about that. Or they've been using Marvin Harrison wrong the whole time, which I've said. But I'm looking
at why do they use him that way? Because that's how Kyler plays football.
Probably. Yeah. So that all of that I completely understand. And when I look at the teams with the top cap space in 26 that would need a quarterback, because Tennessee, I know they're bad. Don't draft give Cam Ward another year. Don't be silly. The Jets are number 2. Vegas is number 3. I'd hate that. Rocky would love it though. Kyler and Bowers together.
That's pretty sweet.
Pittsburgh is $69 million. Pittsburgh, anyone? I wouldn't hate that. The run heavy system with Kyler would probably protect him a little bit more. I think the short answer is I think Kyler is starting somewhere in 2026.
Oh yeah, I definitely think so.
I think he's good enough where they're not going to say like, oh, we can't have Kyler. We have Kirk. We're going to trade for Kirk Cousins instead, especially when they cost the same amount of money, basically. So I hope he's starting. All right. The Browns. This whole storyline made me laugh. So prior to Sunday, the Browns said Deshaun Watson has a chance to remain in the Browns organization as a potential starter in 2026. And then Shadur did that against the Titans. Now it's the Titans, but Nubs, is Shadur the starting quarterback for the Browns in 2026?
He has to be. Like, you can say whatever you want about Watson. Watson could be there to compete, but what has Watson done in the past 4 years to warrant
nothing?
This type of conversation?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Here's the secondary question. Has Shadur done enough where you wouldn't reach for a quarterback? I don't think Mendoza falls to them at whatever number they're going to be, 4 or 5, because they're probably going to win another game somewhere. Is it enough where you don't have to reach for Mendoza or try and trade up for him?
I just don't think this QB class is very good. So
yeah,
I think there's going to be teams that are either going to be in love with the quarterbacks that are on the board, or there's going to be very few suitors for a lot of early quarterbacks. And I don't think the class at quarterback is very deep. So I think there's going to be a lot of status quo or players remaining the same in their roles next year, or like retread quarterbacks getting more opportunities. Like I'm not totally against some team taking a risk on Tyrod Taylor as being 1B in a system or 1B on a team, and they're quick to start him over a rookie quarterback. So I think it's very possible that they're just like, we're going to strengthen the rest of the roster and give Shadur a real shot next year if Stefanski isn't, like, as everyone says he is, a Shadur Sanders hater.
I mean, I'm a Shadur Sanders hater, so if Cleveland has, I don't know enough about the quarterback class of 26 yet. I don't really get into the rookies until after the fantasy season's over. But from what I've heard, that sounds correct.
There's like three quarterbacks, basically.
Yeah, and I've heard even those aren't, like, you know, super standout prospects.
Yeah.
But if Cleveland likes one, I don't think that should hold them back at all. I know we had a good game this past week statistically. I still don't believe he's that good. And he was a fifth round draft pick. I'm not drafting a quarterback that I like even a little bit, just because, like, it's another thing whether whatever guy is worth the number five pick or not. But if you like the guy, I would absolutely draft him and not just standing pat with Sanders.
I do love Nubs' call of, like, a Tyrod Taylor pushing him, because if Shadur isn't that good, then you have someone who actually can feasibly do something, right? And yeah, I'm staring at the mock drafts right now. Like, Dante Moore at five does nothing for me. He's a project. And I think at least Shadur would probably start next year if he were the quarterback. So all right,
season. I will say this though. Don't use a game against the Titans as a barometer.
I agree with that. Yes. They play the top Bears defense this week. And, like, I'm going to that game. It's supposed to be -12 wind chill. I'm so excited.
The Bears are the only defense that is it two interceptions per game averaging
yeah.
right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'd also say, if they don't like any of the quarterbacks in that class, then sure, just go with Sanders. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong and he's actually good. And if not, then you're probably picking in the top five again anyway.
Yeah. Go get Fields if the Jets cut him. Let him push Sanders. That would be fun. All right, season minor news. T. Higgins is in the concussion protocol again.
I know.
The dude's got to stop falling on his head.
He Can does. Just great game, and then yeah. I didn't even hear anything about it during the game, and then afterwards.
I think they faked it.
I think if you watch him in the second half, I think he's playing with a concussion.
I think they faked it.
Because that pass where he drops, like, the fourth down pass,
yep.
I don't even think he knew where the ball was.
Mm-mm. I think he saw two balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was too, because he clearly looked hampered after that concussion. I think that was the Jackson Dart, like, put him back out there type of thing. We are reckless speculating. Don't come at us, people, please.
By the way, can I make one complaint? I tried to do some player props on Underdog, and they wouldn't let me do the Joe Burrow 1.5 over touchdowns last week and the T. Higgins touchdown together. I shake my fist at you,
why?
Underdog.
Why?
It wouldn't let me. It would not let me, and it was so annoying.
You can't stack on – that's silly. Underdog, fix that. Mike Evans could return this week. Thank God, because the Bucs are a nightmare right now. And speaking of the Bengals, Jermaine Burton was cut by the Bengals. Remember him? My note was, don't drop him yet. He's a third round pick. Hopefully someone figures him out. He's going to go to Buffalo and be amazing for $1 million. So, all right, Nubs, now we let the guests choose. Would you like to do trades or listener questions first?
Let's save trades for last because they're the best.
Okay. So we're going to listener questions first. Herms said that you should talk about Greg Dulcich because you love talking about Greg Dulcich. And then he asked for your perspectives on dynasty trading, which you kind of already touched on. But is there anything you want to add?
Well, Herms is right. I love Greg Dulcich.
Yes. So please talk about Greg Dulcich. Yeah.
But if we're talking just dynasty perspectives or trade perspectives, I'm just one who doesn't want to have too many live assets on his roster. Like, unless I've just gotten a bunch of players on really good, like, really good trade deals in terms of, like, not overpaying. If I go, like, you know, seven deep at wide receiver and it's not like a start 11 or 12, I want to get some of those assets off my team, because he wasn't truly an asset this year. But let's even say, like, Calvin Ridley, right? Some people had high hopes for him. He's worth nothing now. And that could have been a guy if I had on a roster that I wanted to move for picks or tell, sell hope and upside to someone else and get out and just have some more stable assets. I could have done that.
Yep. Can you explain to the listeners and to me, because I forget, what a live asset is?
More or less like something that is more attractive to the whole league. And like, it's not dependent on like a certain niche or that they're like Ridley's like what, close to 30 now, hasn't had good seasons last three or four, drops the ball a lot. So you're really just hoping for like boom or bust weeks with him versus like having someone that has more appeal to the league and a more week to week appeal.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be picks. So,
yeah. All right, Greg Dulcich. He's looked okay in Miami. He's a free agent. Where do you want him and where do you think he ends up?
Well, I'd like him back playing move tight end for Sean Payton, to be honest with you, because even before Sean Payton, he was open all the time and not getting thrown to by Russell Wilson or being overthrown by Russell Wilson. But I don't think he's going to get a starting job anywhere he goes. I think he went to Miami because they didn't have a starter. And then they added
Waller,
and then Waller kind of took over, but Waller's still like limited in his production week to week when it comes to even catches and yardage. But I think he's a good asset, like a secondary tight end that comes out as a move. Maybe like if the Rams decide to like revamp their entire room besides like two of them, that could be fun because he would be a nice pass catching option. But I don't think he's ever going to be a full time player. I don't think he's going to be a great fantasy option, but I think you could have some boom weeks in like a best ball dynasty.
Yeah. I'm laughing because that's what the Rams need is another white tight end. They have six of them.
Well, I just know that each one of them catch a touchdown randomly. Or literally. Even go to the Bengals where they have seven tight ends and they all
catch right. touchdowns. That would be great. Right next to Gesicki. Okay. And then Jonathan Smith at DFF_S Jonathan02 answered my question. He says, nothing beats a good game of Monopoly. Add a drinking element to it and voila, you have a party. Favorite board game. So I brought this up because, as Nubs mentioned, it's like -100 about everywhere in the country except for where he is. So it's like board game season, right? It's like that type of season. So guys have favorite board games? Nubs, you can go first.
I think it depends on your audience, but I really like Settlers of Catan.
Yep.
Terraforming Mars is really fun. And I'm a Ticket to Ride person, and I just played.
Never heard of that last one. What's that one?
It's your cities established on a map, and you're building train routes to them, and you get a certain number of points based on the number of trains you put down, as well as the route, how difficult it is to actually build.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you definitely played like Civilization games growing up, didn't you? The video games. You got that actually, vibe.
I've never played Civilization.
Okay, you'd like it. Yeah, you get to be different leaders in countries and build out your civilization. But Rocky Games, you seem like a Monopoly guy to me.
No, way too long.
Yeah, actually, that's true. Yeah,
it like never ends. I don't really play a lot of specific like board like on a board games. We play a lot of like different kinds of games around my house, but it's a lot of like word games or different things like that. We do play some of the like Clue. We play Clue with the family. That's always fun. Beyond that, I'm not sure if anything really springs to mind. I don't play a ton of board. Like I said, we play games, but I wouldn't call them board games.
So yeah.
Like Scattergories is a game I like, but I wouldn't call it a board game.
That's fair.
We definitely is fun.
Yeah, that's a good one. We definitely added Settlers of Catan later in life in my family.
I've heard so much about that.
I don't think you'd like it. It's a long game with a lot of trading and a lot of.
One game I like that barely exists anymore, but I used to play when I was younger. I am the king of meaningless trivia. Trivial Pursuit. That's a
yes. Yeah, that's a good one. They've made like a Nintendo Switch version and stuff like that, and I'll play like that with like a bunch of people if people are over. But
I bet you would like Wits and Wages, Rocky. Wits and Wagers, excuse me. It's it'll be like the tallest tree in the world is X number of feet, and everyone will write their guess down, and then it goes onto some board and they're ranged from smallest to largest, and then you can bet which number you think is closest to the real answer. It doesn't even have to be your own guess.
I probably wouldn't like that. Sounds fun.
Yeah, actually. Did we secretly bring a board game expert on without knowing it?
I know.
Are you a board game guy?
I love board games. Okay. Love board games.
Give us more non known ones, basically. Give us like, you know, wits and wages. What's another good one that we wouldn't know about?
Okay, on the spot's really tough.
Okay.
A non-board game that's fun is Exploding Kittens, and that's a quick game. Basically, you just don't want to hit the bomb that's in the deck, but there's the number of bombs in the deck is one less than the players that are playing. So you basically have the ability to pass or make someone draw two cards, or basically, if, let's say someone made me draw two, if I had the card, I could nope them, or I could try to steal their cards, because there's one card in the deck that you have in your hand that you have that everyone has that they start out with. It's called the defuse, which means you defuse the bomb, you're still alive. But if you don't have any defuses and you hit a bomb, you're out for that round.
So when you say you have one card that everyone has, so like a seven defuses the bomb, basically,
well, if
you have a seven?
Well, it's there. You could play it with actual like a deck of cards, but they're actually like art drawn out cards.
Oh, I see. So got it. Okay. My fault. No, that's cool. Yeah, I'm not very good at most card games. Like, I don't know how to play hearts or anything like that. But no, that's good board game talk. I like that. All right, we'll get into Dynastud stuff. He said, time to start the yearly transparency checks. How many leagues are you all in? How did you do going into the playoffs? Personally, I made the playoffs in 5 of 6 leagues, 2 buys, and 1-101 for my lone playoff team, my TA2 dispersal team, hoping to get at least one ship. So Rocky, I am guessing, is not going to do this because he's in 40 freaking leagues.
I'm not in that many anymore. I looking at the question when he was talking, when you guys were talking about Greg Dulcich or whatever, I was actually looking through my MFL app to see how many teams I had. It's including two that I think are not on MFL. I am at 31.
Okay, so he's in 30 freaking leagues. Sorry, I messed up by one digit.
And I believe I made the play. And I don't consider this a great year. I made it in like 17, so a little slightly over half.
It's better than I did.
Some of them were never supposed to be playoff teams. A decent amount of them, but there's definitely like 4 or 5 that I was trying to make the playoffs and just did not. I'd say about half of those are legit contenders. So maybe 8. If I walk away with like 3 titles, I'll be thrilled.
Did you get into the Did you get into TA6 playoffs on beating me out of nowhere?
I did. I couldn't believe I beat
you. Did you really?
I'm the points team. I might have even, that win might actually put me to the 5 seed, but I was going to be the points team anyway.
I saw that this week that I was losing to. I'm like, he's 100% going to get into the playoffs on that.
Yeah. I think I'm like 7-7, but the league is weird. Like, I think like 7 teams are under 500. I think I made it to the 5 seed.
Nubs, how'd you do this year?
In Dynasty, I have 21 teams. I made the playoffs in 14. I have 3 buys. Redraft's a little worse. I had teams that were in the top 3 in leagues that didn't make the playoffs on the final week. I advanced to second round of Scott Fishbowl, which is nice, but my redraft is nothing right home about.
Yeah, okay.
But Dynasty looks pretty good.
One of my most disappointing playoff ones, I have a 9-5 team, non-playoff ones, 9-5 team in TA1. Where I did not make the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's really the haves and have nots
in that one. Yeah. Then. My points aren't that great. And yeah, there's like, that's the opposite of the TA6, where there's like, I think like 7 teams that are like 8-6 or better or something like that. Yeah. And there were obviously at least 5 teams that were 9-5. And I think I was worse in points than somebody else for that 6th spot.
What's the point in TA6? J-Mike's going to beat us all anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the J-Mike Invitational League where you have
text? Yeah. Okay.
It's just not fair.
I lost in the semis last year and would have beat J-Mike in the finals if I was playing.
I've tried to go after him, and it's just like, what the heck's the point? I have Lamar and Dak, so if my quarterbacks actually show up for once, they've never shown up on the same week, which is crazy. So if that actually happens, I have a chance, but we'll see. I am not a very good podcast host. I'm only in 9 leagues, but I'm married now. So she can't leave me now. So now I can add more. I made the playoffs in 4 of them. So bad year for me, including TA6 and 8, 1 seed in only 1 of them, 3rd in both TA leagues. One league I put in here was my redraft league with my old job. And we started 1-7. And it was one of those teams where we drafted a bunch of rookies at the start, like Henderson, Harvey. They didn't do anything. We ripped off five straight and had the chance to win this week to make the playoffs, and all of it fell apart. And we did. That was like the most fun I've had watching a team.
It wasn't quite like that, but the opposite experience. It wasn't making or missing the playoffs, but I was needing a bye. Wanting a bye. Yep. And for my redraft league. It's like my biggest buy-in league is my home redraft league that I've been in for like 20 years. And all I needed was Hurts and Gadsden to outscore Dicker by 12. And that was toast by halftime. Like, I had no chance by halftime. I was like, this is not happening. So, and it wasn't even me. Like, I needed another team to lose. I won by like 80. But yeah. I needed another team to lose, and the team I needed to lose was facing Hurts and Gadsden, and Gadsden did nothing, and we saw what Hurts did, and he ruined my night doubly.
Yeah. I play in two leagues with my old fraternity brothers, in one of them, or actually in both of them. It's kind of our anti-tanking measure. If you have a zero-point player, you have to, like, do a chug of a beer somewhere fun or something like that and do it on video. And Jalen Hurts had like negative 4 points at halftime. I'm like, this would be the dumbest chug in the history of fantasy football to have Jalen Hurts against the Chargers be my chug for the week. That would be so annoying. But
another thing about the final week that I wanted to ask you guys about, you think I'm crazy. Like, my TA9 team was 13-0, and I was so happy that I lost this week. I did not want to go into the playoffs undefeated.
Is
that crazy?
Dynastud brings up karma right now. Do you set a lineup during the bye for karma? Do you believe in this karma, like playoff karma?
Like, I not going in undefeated.
Yeah.
I'm superstitious. I'm that there. Way.
Nubs, are you superstitious in the playoffs?
No, but whenever I have a bye week, I'm always like, you know, the players that I have are going to go off this week and be terrible next week. Literally. Or they're going to get hurt this week. Yes. And I'm like, can I just save them and they didn't play? Like, I'll just bench them and they're not playing this week.
My redraft league, that's part of the reason I really, other than just wanting a bye, I really wanted the bye is because I scored 165 points, which is a high score in that league, like a very high score. And I'm like, there's no way my guys are doing anywhere near this good next week. Please give me the bye for when they all fall off next week, and then hopefully 2 weeks from now they'll be good again.
Literally. I am the guy who will like sit his starting lineup in the bye, like, just to like, they're not gonna get
I don't do anything playing. Maybe because I'm in 30 leagues, but I don't do anything with my lineups that I don't have to. So I just leave them as they were.
That makes sense to me, actually, that because that, for silly stuff like that, doing it 30 times seems like a lot. All right. Well, I think we talked about the karma one. So what's the off-season rule change that average leagues should be considering? I feel like Rocky should start here as the, like, super commissioner who comes up with wacky rules and all that stuff.
I don't have anything wacky, but I have two things that came to mind.
Yep.
Just pet peeves of mine, really. One is, if you have a toilet bowl for a 113, you should abolish it. Russ,
he gets to that. That's literally his next question.
I didn't even read the next part. And the other one, I know I just lost my train of thought because I looked at the question. What was the other? Taxi squads. I don't think taxi squads are necessary. You should get rid of taxi squads. Deepen your rosters.
That's hotter to say. I guess if you're deepening the rosters by the same amount you're getting rid of them, that makes more sense. But
yes. But part of it for me is I'm an MFL guy. And in MFL, if you put guys on the taxi squad, they don't count towards potential points. And I'm a potential points guy. So there's another rule for you. If that's not already how you're determining draft position, change it to potential points.
Okay. Now, so you think any rule changes?
I just want to comment real quick. I hate potential points. If you have a random player on your roster that really carries no value going into the next season, go for 40 in the final week and it messes up your draft position. I don't think it's a real good measure. I like it for anti-tanking, but if you're worried about tanking, you just have to get rid of the people.
Everyone says that, but I mean, anybody can go. Yeah, that's not going to that one game isn't going to affect like your entire, like you had guys that were scoring or not scoring the entire year. That one game isn't what did anything.
I'm just saying if it changes a draft position for a player that carries no value in your future. And I also believe that
I doubt that ever really happens. Like it's probably super rare, but even if it does, if the guy goes off in week one that you have on your roster, why is that different than if he went off in week 16 or 14 or whatever?
Well, I'm talking about like random guys. Like,
If you have a random guy that you had on your roster in week one.
Well, you asked me a question. I'm trying to answer it.
And get rid of the random guys.
Rocky. That's the next point I was going to make is that it incentivizes teams to not have a full roster. And I think that's bad for Dynasty and bad for fantasy, in my opinion. Because when you talk about like, I won't die on the hill of no potential points because I'm in leagues that do it. You know, if that's the rule, that's the established rule, I'll play by it. But I believe, and my personal feeling just in Dynasty in general, I like 11, 12, 13 starting roster spots, and I like 30 plus bench or total roster because I believe that the 99.9% of players that are worth anything should be on rosters, and the way you acquire them is via trading, not by via using waivers, unless a random player comes up that really wasn't rostered and comes up from the practice squad or something like that. I'm very much for deep leagues for the reason that it should be trading should be the biggest way in which you acquire players or make moves or acquisitions, in my opinion.
And I agree. And all of my leagues are deep roster leagues. I think the smallest roster I commission 8 leagues. I think the smallest roster I have is probably a 30-man roster. And in all these leagues where potential points are determining draft order, no one's carrying like 20 guys, 18 guys. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that happens very often. But even if it did, I think you're hindering yourself by carrying less players, even though it could give you a little more potential points if you're because, like you said, you can trade guys, you can get something for those. They could become something. Like you're hindering your ability to get more players or more assets by carrying less guys anyway. And to me, the thing with the guy popping off or whatever, to me, the benefit of incentivizing the league to start your best lineup every week. And that far outweighs like anybody's worry about one guy popping off or whatever. Like if you're just going by record and points, there's no reason for people to not mess with their lineup.
Well, and I just want to say this last thing too. I think overall record, once again, if it's done by potential points, that's totally fine. I'll operate inside of those guidelines. But I also think that the record, as well as the manager managing that roster, is a reflection as well as the strengths of the team, where you might not have as strong of a manager managing a team. Yeah, you might say their roster's better. But if we're talking even like NFL teams, there are NFL teams with much better players on rosters with much worse records that I'm not even making this comparison to the NFL and making this argument, but we've seen it where, oh, well, this team is loaded, but they've lost. That's still their draft position is still, you know, what it is at the end of the season based on rankings or based on standings. So once again, not a hill I'm going to die on, but I just think there's a lot more that goes into it besides just how many points are scored from a roster.
Patreon.com/DraftXpod. I just muted my mic and sat back for about 5 minutes and just let that happen.
I am very passionate about potential points.
Well, and Rocky and I have had good discussion about trade deadlines before, so I'm trying to stay away from that.
Maybe when I go on my honeymoon next year, we're going to do like a commissioners episode with the two of you. And just to finish up,
I'm not saying potential points is perfect, but I think it's the best way to do it. And I think it incentivizes every team to start their best lineup every week because there's no reason not to. And B, I personally believe that it's the best reflection of the talent of your overall roster far more than a record, especially, or even your actual points in your lineup because you can manipulate that so easily. And what we're supposed to be doing is not rewarding, but helping the teams that perform badly. That's what the whole point of the draft is. Okay. So the potential points to me gives you the best picture of who is the worst team.
So can I ask one other question? I've seen this in a couple leagues. Do you think the last playoff spot should be the person outside the playoffs, outside the top 5 or top 7, however many teams make the playoffs? that has the most points or combine most points plus most points against or something like that.
That was going to be my rule change. So yes.
Yes.
I think it takes a little bit of drama away, but I do like it more too.
Yes.
I actually have some leagues where it's the top four and the top last two were by points.
I like that actually.
Yeah. Russ doesn't know it yet, but he's going to host a commissioner's podcast with you two, and you guys are going to debate all of this stuff.
Oh, we got to bring on Dynasty Coach A. He's our commissioner. And most
of there we go. So okay. Then that's the episode. Rocky's going to host it.
He's a friend of the pod, Dynasty.
Yes, he is. Yeah. So we'll do
his QB scoring is near perfect. He includes, we've kind of worked it as a group. We kind of discussed it, and then he had final say on a lot of stuff, but he has it where completion percentage basically matters. It's negative points for incompletion points, less points, but a certain amount of points for completion, as well as like turnovers are heavy point, negative points. So it really shows like true passing chops as well as rushing. Like Lamar still gets his points as long as he turn the ball over, because he does still throw a decent percentage, but it brings up the more accurate passers, but also there's some increased depth throws as well, so you're not just getting dump off wizards that are putting up 40 points either. So it's nice.
All right, that's going to be a show in the on points for the season. I'll think about that. Okay. He said his next question, and I think Rocky's going to rage about this one too. Who should get the bye in the toilet bowl? The worst team or the best team in the bracket? I thought the best, but I see TA leagues give byes to the worst teams. Now we're considering trading to try and make a run for the 113. Speaking of the 113, do you have strong opinions on the reward for the toilet bowl winner? I've seen 113 and 213. 113 seems too valuable to me personally, but interested to hear if others disagree. So now I'm going to mute my mic again and let Rocky go.
I also hate the 113 so much, and Russ does it in every TA league. I agree. I think it's way too valuable to give to some toilet bowl to the bad teams, and you're knocking everybody else's second back a pick. I don't like that. I'm fine just not having a toilet bowl. So I mean, I get that it's fun to give the, non-playoff team something to do for 2 to 3 weeks, but I don't really think it's necessary. If you want to do it, I guess I'd be fine with the 213, even though to me that's like means almost nothing, but I guess it's something. But I also agree. I do like that Russ gives the worst teams the bye. I think that makes more sense, actually, because they should – have a better chance at the pick, since it's going to be almost most of the time those top two worst teams are going to have no chance of winning anyway. It's another reason I don't like the 113, is it's more often than not going to go to basically the team who has the 107 or the 108.
It's parity. It leads to parity, which I think is what he's trying to accomplish with the 113 going to the worst team or having the best chance. So,
but I'm sure you think. Yeah, but that's the problem, I think, is it goes to the best team that didn't make the playoffs more often than not, and that team is usually you're giving a high pick, high-ish pick to a team that was not nearly as bad as the two teams that are given that bye that probably lose the next week anyway because they stink so bad.
Go ahead, Nubs.
I want to contribute one other facet that might not be brought up very often because it doesn't happen in most leagues with the 113. I'm in one league with the 113, and I took over a team that I've been rebuilding for like 4 or 5 years. So I've had the 201 a lot, and it's made me wait an extra pick, so I know about that. And then in this last draft, I was trying to pick quickly because I had multiple second-round picks, and I had a late first. I had like 111 or something like that, and I had to go back to work. So what happened was 112 picked, and I went and picked two players in a row because I had 201 and 202. 113 still had to pick. So now they know who I want, and they have 203, and I have 204. So they got a free look into what my draft path was, or what my interests were in players that I was going to take. And then they were able to kind of try to pick around me because the picks went off the board, were taken back off the board. Totally fine. I respect it. I went early. That's my fault. I know this league had 113. This had 113 the entire time I've been in it. So it's totally I'm accountable for going too early. But then there's that risk of it too, where your picks are pushed back and you pick early, and then they know who you're going to pick, so they might take your player. So, or try to trade out of it. That's another thing too.
But by the way, another small reason I hate it is because it skews all our trades from January on, when we're talking We're February on when we get the actual picks. Yeah. And we say the 201, but really for every trade we're talking about, it's 202. Or we say the 205, it's really the 206 because it's one pick later because it's in every TA league, the one pick.
So to peel back the curtain, Rocky puts the trades into the show sheet every week, and I'm waiting for the day he starts putting 202, not 201 in the trade because that's what it actually is.
I probably should start doing that.
It's just going to confuse me more. So I have a toilet bowl in those leagues I was talking about with my fraternity where we actually have a last place punishment. So the worst team should go by in that. I agree. Like if you have actual last place stakes, the worst team should have buys there. In terms of toilet bowl, I struggle because I think parity should be encouraged, and Rocky's probably right. They probably just lose in the semis as opposed to the quarters anyway. But there has to be a way to like even that out, and I don't know what it is. And I think the right answer is probably like the 213 is the right pick, although that's not going to help anyone. I don't know. It would help Rocky in not having trades mean nothing on the show sheet anymore.
This is something I didn't really think about that much when I, you know, confessed my hate for this. But like he mentions, like it incentivizes really bad teams to pick up, to possibly trade assets to pick up a point getter to maybe get a 113 pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I think
mentions that he's like,
oh, I know.
Yeah, so like. But it does incentivize you to do that. Like if you think you can get the 113 by adding a guy, I mean, it's not likely to happen probably if he's like in TA2, Dynastud's the 101. So I don't think he's getting the 113. But
yeah,
the fact that it even crosses your mind is not like, I don't think that's a good thing to have teams incentivized to do that.
That's a loopy-doopy way of getting an extra pick, kind of.
I'm going to trade my 204 to try to win the 113.
Literally.
Yeah, just trading exactly.
Yeah. I think that's right. Okay. This is my favorite question he asked this week, because I think a lot of people think this way. Who's the worst starting QB you'd feel confident being the key word, starting in the playoffs? Nubs.
Oh my god. Am I looking to score 16? Am I looking to score 19? Am I looking to score 20?
However you want to phrase it.
Now I gotta think about all the starting quarterbacks. Oh, can I go second?
Yes. Am I going by like worst by ADP or because that's what I'm looking at right now.
He kind of has a week to week redraft mindset. So say over, like, you know, dynasty values be damned. You have 3 weeks to start a quarterback. I think the worst I would be confident is Jared Goff.
Oh, my God. That was my answer.
I was going to say Bryce Young because I think he has a pretty easy schedule.
I haven't looked at schedule, so I'm just going.
He plays New Orleans, Tampa, Seattle. Never mind. But
because he is lower in the ADP, but he's also kind of lower in production this year.
I think Goff's the right answer. I think. Well, should we just name them? Let's do that. All right. Lamar, Burrow, Allen, Drake. Are we going Hurts? Drake or May? We have to have a one word.
You confident starting Hurts right now?
Yes. Yeah, still. Are we going Drake or May, by the way, for future rankings?
I think it's got to go May.
May, okay. So Lamar, Burrow, May, Josh. By the way, all four of those quarterbacks play each other this week. Herbert. Baker. I still say Baker. I know he sucked, but like I still say Baker. Hurts. I'm at 7.
Dak.
Dak is 8. Who?
Dart.
I'd play Dart.
Dart's got a really easy schedule to finish. He plays Washington, Minnesota, and Vegas to finish. I love that. That is great. We're at 9.
Love.
It is Toyotathon.
It's just...
Well, one you didn't say that I would definitely be confident in starting is Stafford.
I thought he said Stafford. I did not. Stafford's, yeah. Love plays at Denver, at Chicago versus Baltimore.
Ooh, that's tough.
Only Denver's really tough, though.
In Denver?
Yeah, I said only Denver is really tough. I don't think the other two are that tough.
I think we don't know about the Bears yet. I know they played this week, but the Bears have playmakers on their defense that most teams would be happy to have one. They have four. So I think they can do a lot of stuff most weeks. They might have gotten torched this last week, but there was a lot of inconsistencies in like their deep coverage where those windows shouldn't be open. And being a Packers fan, I was very happy to see those open, but I don't know if they're going to be consistently open. So.
So now we get into the questions. So I still say Baker, but do you guys agree?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. But yeah, the recent trend is not great.
Caleb Williams, Cleveland, Green Bay, San Francisco.
Probably not. If you have a better option, yeah, but he hasn't like been producing great numbers.
It's confident is the word. So the answer is probably no.
Yeah, no.
Did but I say Mahomes?
I would.
I don't. Yeah.
Assuming Mahomes, yeah.
Okay.
I think there's one we haven't said, though, that I think is worthy of talking about is Trevor Lawrence. Since acquiring Jacoby Myers, he's number one in passing in EPA.
And Jets he's running at more, Denver, which is huge. At Indianapolis. At Denver sucks, but.
You can always pivot. You can find another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that hasn't totally translated to fantasy looking at the TA scoring. I mean, he's not been bad, but it's not.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying he's going to be great.
Yeah.
But, like, if it's, like, 16-plus, you're looking at, like, QB 22 on the season to 16 points per game around there.
All right, here's one I didn't say, and Dynastud's going to love this because we're talking about him for, like, the fourth week in a row. Herbert.
I'd feel confident starting Herbert. I'm not going off schedule, but who was it?
At KC, at Dallas, and then Houston in the championship.
Ooh. Houston's scary. He just played
a good defense. At KC's scary.
Yeah, and he just played a good defense and did not do well.
What about Brissett? I'm trying to see what his matchups are going forward.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
I was curious scared about that, too. Because
but he plays Houston great this week. Atlanta and Cincinnati. Atlanta. So if you survive, if you have a bye.
A bye, yeah.
you're psyched.
Because Brissett's been so consistent, like, fantasy-wise. He's been like
and playing Cincinnati in the championship game, if you get there, the only team allowing over 30 points per game. And almost four touchdowns a game, 3.8.
I so struggle.
Like 20?
Yeah, literally. I think the answer is like 12. Yeah, I think the answer is like 12. And it's like you're confident, really confident in like 9 of them. And then the other 3 are like you're mostly confident if they're not playing Houston, basically. Yeah. Where are we on Bryce Young? Nubs, what do you think? Because he was just on a bye, right? Did the Panthers play last week? No.
No, they're on bye.
That's right.
I think Dave Canales is coach of the year, and I don't think Bryce Young is the answer in Carolina, but I don't think they're going to replace him.
Okay, so, I love everything you just said. So let's break that down piece by piece. Dave Canales is coach of the year. Why and how? Because
I think he just maximizes his entire roster to like the peak of their ability, and then you see that there's some flash in games where Bryce plays well. He's really good at getting the entire run game working like it should. I think if he had a better quarterback, this team would be looked at much differently. If they could score consistently, as their defense is very good against the run when they have Brown in. I know they missed him all last year. So it's like they have the pieces. He knows how to run game plans. They beat the Packers this year by just holding the ball the entire game. So
them beating the Packers and the Rams is wild.
Mm-hmm.
I think he won't win Coach of the Year because Vrabel exists.
Yes.
But
Steichen, well, yeah, they're what, probably like 7-6 or 8?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
7-6.
They'd like to give it to the teams with the sexier records. Like
Steichen probably just lost. Steichen lost it 2 weeks ago, probably. Steichen had it for a while with Daniel Jones and everything going good, but
yeah, it'll probably be Vrabel.
Okay, last one. Do you like randomness or structure in fantasy? A league I run uses medium scoring in addition to head-to-head to each week. Some people hate it, but it works. The top six scorers, we're back to rules again. Even though two of the top three scorers would have just been 7-7 at risk in pure head-to-head thoughts.
I think you should go first.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think we need to reiterate this whole thing again. And yeah. And I'm just... Rocky and Hubs are gonna, or Nubs are gonna do another like 10-minute discussion on this. So here's what I will say. I will summarize everything. I think there's room for both. I think if you have top four based on record and two based on points four, that's great. I don't think you need like too much structure where it's like every like top six make the playoffs, because I don't like that much. And you shouldn't have total chaos where everyone, like whoever beats the median the most, is the top in the league. You shouldn't do that either. There's a median in this. Did I say anything wrong?
No, I mean, I'll just add, yeah, like head to head, if you're trying to be as fair as possible, is honestly kind of dumb, but head to head is fun. So
that's what separates us from the animals, is that we actually can talk to through our opponents every week.
And so records should matter, or else head to head doesn't matter. So yeah, the compromise is the, you know, 6 or 5 and 6 seeds or whatever getting the getting it from points.
I think it depends on the league though. Like for me, I don't mind randomness in my friend league. Like my home league, I don't mind the randomness, because then there's so much crap to talk. There's so much trash. But I like it with the median when I'm in like really competitive leagues, because if we're playing deeper rosters, things like that, I care about, you know, how I look against the rest of the league, because it matters more, especially like if it's dynasty. So I can see it in both. It just kind of really depends on, for me, how seriously I take that league.
Right. I don't really have much else to add. I agree with you to an extent. Because I think head-to-head against your friends makes it equally important to shit talk, so that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. We should keep that. All right. TradeX Leagues, 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception, 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1, because they never break, they always hold. And we don't have any TA1 trades, so it doesn't matter. TA5, Devontae Adams for a 26 late second and a 27 second. Now, but you'll go first every time.
This was me, by the way.
I like the Adams side. I can see the argument for both. I've made the argument that until Devontae Adams is retired, and I said this like 3 or 4 years ago, he's a top 12 dynasty wide receiver for me. Not saying I have to trade him or would trade wide receiver 13 for him or whatever, but there's not enough players that do what he can do for us to discount him until he shows he can't do it anymore.
Does Stafford not being there affect that ranking at all?
It probably should. But he gets open very quickly underneath a lot. I understand his yardage hasn't been great this year, but I think that's because of how strong the run game has been.
Yeah. I'll answer next since Rocky. This was Rocky. In a vacuum, I will take the Adams side. I agree with Nubs that he's just going to keep doing what he's doing, and you don't have to be that young and athletic to do what he does. He just knows how to find the right place in the end zone to stand every time. So, yeah, I would take the Adams side.
So, yeah, this is one of those teams where I was trying to make the playoffs to start the season, and I did not. So I sold Adams. You're not getting a first for him. Maybe I could have – and I don't know if this guy had a lot of younger players on his roster. I basically was just trying to get what I could get. I don't think I could get much more than this. Like I said, maybe with the right team I could have gotten a young – player back or something instead of one of the seconds, but that's basically what I was going for here. I just was trying to sell him while he had value. You know, as he turns 33 next year, he's going to have zero value in the offseason.
I'm going to put you on the spot. If You are a contender and you need a receiver. You're not trading a contending 27 first for Adams.
Me?
Yes.
I don't think I am, no.
I'm not either.
Mostly because as little as I know about draft classes, all I hear about is how good the 27 class is going to be. So that would, even though it's 2 years out, that would make me not want to do it in part. Besides the fact that he's just, you know, crazy old, even for receiver.
And Rocky's right. He's turning 33.
I don't think the return's bad either on Rocky's side at all, especially if you're not going to be in the playoffs. I just think that next year's still going to be good enough where if I'm trading 2 seconds for him, I'm not even going to worry about those seconds at all. But if you're trying to get out of him to just get younger, I don't think it's a terrible trade. But I'm not paying a first.
I don't expect to contend. Like I said, I was trying to contend this year, and I did. I'm like 105 or something like that. So I'm not content. I don't think I'm planning to try and tear this down as much as I can and sort of compete in 27 at best. Is where I'm looking. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to move him now because I feel like even if I can turn this around by 27, I don't really think Adams is going to be starting for me then.
What is the kind of cliff looking like on the team that you got the 27 second from? Is this like a super old team that could be nothing next year?
That's a good question that I did not look that closely at. So I would have to pull it up. If you want to like talk for a second, I can look at it.
Can I contribute to this a little bit? That's Please. One of my favorite strategies ever is to look ahead. I love buying discounted future picks. I actually did that in a league where we contracted and I ended up, it was a year in which I went to a rebuild because it was the startup year. I went to try to win the title and I fell short. So I went to rebuild and it contracted. So I had 101 in the bringing from 14 to 12 teams. And I got Anthony Richardson. Knowing full well I was planning on trading him. I traded him in basically a three-trade process. I acquired two first-round picks that I really liked, and they are 101 and 102 in the league. So I think it's a great strategy just to look forward and just see what teams have. Really look at their benches, too, because if teams that trade away a lot of their picks don't have anything on the bench, the only way that if there's an injury or if a player falls off, they get better is if they trade one of those studs away or break that stud up into multiple players, and then their ceiling might still be lower, and you already have their next season's picks, and I love that.
So the question was with the idea, could the 27 be better? Is that what you're thinking? Yeah, his team's pretty good. Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's going to fall apart by 27. He's got – it's not loaded with young – like crazy loaded with young players, but he's got Mahomes, who's still going to be good for a while. He's got Gibbs. He's got Amon-Ra. And he's got Trey McBride. So he's got a nice – and he's got his first. So he's got a nice little core here. that I don't think it's going to fade off into oblivion anytime soon. So the 27 might not be as late as this one was, but it probably won't be too bad.
Yeah, and you're looking at it as worst case too. It could always get better. There could, unfortunately, when I say better for you, I'm not, you know, could be injuries. It could be players' roles changing. True.
Yes.
So you're buying it or you're getting at it, its lowest value where it only goes potentially up. So, and I also think that with this trade that you were talking about potentially getting a younger player, I depending on what your like the level or status of player you might be able to trade for, you're probably doing it in terms of an equivalent of 2 seconds. So this still gives you that ammo if you wanted to go take a shot at a different younger player where I don't think you're getting both in that type of trade. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. All right, we can move on to the next trade. Kirk Cousins in a 27 third for Sean Tucker in a 27 second.
We only put this on here because we only had 4 trades this week.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, this feels easy to me a little bit. But Nubs, what do you think?
I think anything you can do to get a second is great. But in a vacuum, what you're paying, if we're just looking at QB instead of Kirk Cousins, at like QB of that like level, that's not a terrible move from going from second to third in case like that you have a late second or something to almost have a free risk on a quarterback. Kirk Cousins might not be the one I would select in that scenario. So I would take the second in this, but in a vacuum, there could be an opportunity where I would discuss this.
I'm with Nubs, basically. We talked about, we had another Kirk Cousins trade either last week or the week before or something. Yeah. And I just think, I don't think it's as, like you said, he may be, we talked about last week, he may be a bridge, so he may get some starts, but I don't think he's ever going to be a starting, like a starting quarterback again. And I think he's kind of cooked anyway. So as much as I've loved Kirk across the years, I think this, like these last couple of years in Atlanta are kind of showing he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take the Cousins side just out of chance that he's starting somewhere. I think that's a better, I think 27 second and third is close enough, honestly. I don't think it's that big of a difference right now in terms of value. So, okay, TA6. This was J-Mic, wasn't it? I think so. Chase Brown for Michael Penix, Jalen Noel, and
the 26 third.
Yeah. Nubs, what do you think?
Everything in my body says Chase Brown. But if you're a rebuilder or someone that's trying to maximize potential return, the Penix Noel side is probably better. But if you're looking for points, it's Brown. If Penix has any chance of starting for a long time, which I'm not saying he does, you win this trade if he's a starting quarterback for like three or four seasons. Yep. I like the idea of the upside of Noel, but I also very much operate on trade away the noise on your team where I like Noel. But if Noel is only going to ever be a wide receiver three or wide receiver four on Houston, he's never going to be worth really the roster spot that he has. And I'd rather consolidate to a starting running back. Yeah. So I can understand both sides of this deal. Maybe you're trading Chase Brown because you're a rebuilder, hoping for Penix to be good, and potentially Jalen Noel gains value, and then you can move him again or whatever you want. So I can understand both sides, but it's Chase Brown in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with everything Nubs pretty much just said. This is hard for, just because I have no idea what Penix is at this point. Even if he was a mediocre starter, but he was locked in as a mediocre starter for a year, but I'm not even sure, like, I don't feel 100% confident he's playing, he's starting next year. He's had multiple, you know, bad injuries. He seems to be injured every year. And he does not look amazing when he's on the field. So I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I would assume they'll probably still try and trot him out there next year if he's healthy, but I would imagine he doesn't have a long leash. So
probably not. Especially if Cousins is still there.
So given that, I think
go get Justin Fields. Bring him to Atlanta.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Given that, I think you have to kind of take Chase Brown there because Penix could become Anthony Richardson pretty soon. So
yeah. I agree with everything y'all said. I don't have much to add, but I would be worried about Chase Brown kind of in the long term, but he's a Bengal next year, so that's all that matters.
But like you said, we're also worrying about Penix in the long term.
Yeah, no, that's true. All right, last one's TA10, Marvin Harrison Jr. in a 26 third for Ladd McConkey in a 26 second. It's a wide receiver two on their respective teams. What do you guys think? Nubs, you first.
Marv, easy. I'm a Chargers fan, and I'm picking Marv.
You know I'm picking Marv. I'm not even a huge Marv guy. Like, I'm a little – and Nubs mentioned earlier that he thinks there's reasons for this, but I am a little underwhelmed by what we've seen through Harrison through 2 years, given what we were hoping for. But I've never been a Ladd McConkey believer, even after his rookie season, and this year has not been nearly as good as his rookie season, so – yeah. I'll go with what I still think is the upside of Marv, and the pick thing doesn't change my mind that much.
Yeah. Yeah, Nubs blamed Kyler. He's one Bucky insult away from never being on this podcast again.
I know.
Can I just say I was so off the Bucky train and I'm not on it 100% when he made the league? Because he's such a perfect fit next to Baker because Baker is so willing to dump off to his running backs, and they're so explosive in the first 5 yards that if you don't establish gap test discipline or getting out into the perimeter, he's just going to gouge you. And we just saw that last week against the Saints.
Yeah. I think that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Jokes aside, Nubs, you're always welcome on this show. You know that. Thanks for coming on as always. Before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where you can find what you do.
Yeah, Nubs, double N double B. I'm just on Twitter. I'm not making content anymore this year. I was doing a bunch last year. We did live shows, Rush reviews, all this stuff, but I'm not with anyone at this point. But if you do have any questions, feel free to reach out. We still have the Discord as well, the JWB Discord. If you ever want to join that and ask any questions, they're still active discussing a bunch of stuff on there.
Very nice. Our stuff, Rocky's at Dynasty FF Addict on all socials. I'm at Frank in the Chat on all socials. We have patreon.com/TriAxePod. You can watch us while we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. We also have everything going on with Fantasy Cares right now. SFPL Playoff Mania starts in a couple weeks. I swear Scott's going to turn that site on one of these days. 25 days, 25 jerseys. There's been some awesome jerseys coming out. And then shows, they have recap shows for SFP on Tuesdays, Trivia Tuesday nights, and the Wednesday night hangout. And Rocky's out next week. I will have Andrew Hall as a co-host, so everyone gets psyched for that. And yeah, I think that's it. As Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.